Gauchos on the Secret Monkey Weekend. Who's a Secret Monkey Podcast?
Secret Monkey Weekend.
We are Secret Monkey Weekend.
Hey, we're having the Cowsills on the podcast today. What do you think of that?
Yay!
What do you love about the Cowsills?
I like their harmonies.
Yeah, I can see that. I just like the fact they're a family band and they maybe sort of set the blueprint for, you know, what we could probably do. The harmonies are out of this world, though.
I mean, to
this day.
I love their bond, you know.
Can you talk louder, little one?
I love their bond.
Their bond. Gotcha.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I'm late. Hey, Secret Monkeys. Hi.
Actually, let's start off with a sports question. Go ahead.
About the Super Bowl. Right. So, Susan, you have lived in New Orleans a long time.
Yes.
I'm not sure the last time the Super Bowl was
in New Orleans.
In New Orleans at the Superdome, or if it has been. But I was just wondering, you know, as a New Orleanian, what was it like, you know, to be in town?
Okay. Yeah, no, it was a trip. And I think we have had it before, but I don't recall it as viscerally as I do this last one, because it just happened, number one. But there was quite a buzz in town for weeks. And even, this is very exciting here in New Orleans, and my brothers know this from our podcasting, a few, of the potholes we have in town got fixed just for the occasion. So we are all very proud of that. That and our bridge got lights, which are really pretty. Mm-hmm. And so that was fun. But the downfall of it was that it turned out that the music community at large did not really make, you know, sometimes when these big events come to town, we do well.
Yeah.
And we did not. So vendors and music venues, not so much, but the town had a blast.
Okay. Well, I guess you can make that up at Jazz Fest.
Let me say something. Susan's kind of downplaying some of this, okay? And I'll tell you why I know this. This group in New Orleans that she's a part of are knucklehead football Saints nuts, okay? And she's making like, well, you know, yeah. Because, I don't know, Paul told me once, Paul, tell that story. I know what you're going to say.
Yep. So I had to, I worked in movies, and the movies in Oregon, Portland, were dying out. And so called Susan and said, man, I'm coming to New Orleans. I'm going to stay with you for 6 months. And I need you, because they were doing a lot of movies there and all this stuff. And so I went there, and, you know, time is going by, and all of a sudden Susan goes, yeah, we're having a Super Bowl victory party at our house, you know? And I'm going, you are? And he goes, yeah, we're just going to rerun the game that we won. So I'm there, and was not a Saints fan at all, you know, and it was just so funny, and they kept cheering. And so I was in the other room, and they were all dressed up in all their New Orleans Saints stuff. And, you know, the onside kick. And so now he does the onside kick, and the whole room is like going, oh, like it hadn't even happened. And
okay.
They kept revisiting this whole thing.
So it was maybe so that's how it is around here at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, it almost reminds me of a story like Renee Coman would tell on the Troubled Men podcast. That's one you've been on, right, Susan?
I have.
Yeah, I think that's sort of how I discovered it. Of course, he plays bass with you in your solo band.
He does.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that podcast. I actually told him that I started at the beginning, so I'm still in 2018. You know, I'm just going. So I've got a long ways to go.
You got a ways to go for sure.
I should maybe do one new one, and that way I'll stay current. But,
it's pretty upset.
Is that the one with the Russ episode where we learned all about Russ on that podcast? Yeah,
that's right.
Good episode. I remember that.
Yeah.
John Groh was on one, too, as I remember.
Vicki Peterson did a pod. I think it's time for the Cowgirls to get on the Trouble Man podcast.
Oh, that would be great.
Troubled?
Yeah.
Troubled men, us?
I will send him a note for you. Well, I guess we just did have a lot of questions sort of here. I want to start with one and we'll just go down the line. How's that?
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. I am old enough to have seen the 1968 TV special that you did on NBC called A Family Thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was in about the same time frame as the Elvis comeback special. It might have been a tad later, but I both have been big influences on me. Elvis, self-explanatory, you know, Beatles, Elvis. But with you guys, I saw these young kids that are, you know, roughly my age, at least John and you and Barry. And I'm going, my God, that kid is killing it on the drums, you know, John. And I was so excited. And of course, I remember you and Barry. Of course, you were, you know, even though you were what? How old were you in 68? I don't want to give away your age too much.
I was nine.
Nine. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. So I was six or seven. Six. I was almost seven. So you were the older girl.
Yeah.
But I just really grooved on the Cowgirls and I remember them. Of course, when the Partridge Family came out. I thought, wait a minute, this is sort of like that band I remember. Yeah, so that was my thing. But just what was it like to have a TV special made about you at that time?
It was very special. Ark, 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 ark.
The thing, in those days, if you had got a special, the United States of America were going to see it because everyone was watching three stations. So you're going to be seen.
Yeah.
What they did to us on the special, that's another conversation.
Yes.
Put us in yellow shirts and orange pants. We're dancing when we're not dancers. Or the comedy is a little stiff to me. They're taking the space out of our older brother's teeth by making him wear false teeth. There were crazy memories of that.
Yeah, that was wacky. We were calling him Beaver Bill.
And Paul's playing trumpet.
But I got to tell you, I do want to look at it. We were
best
kids.
Time.
And so there was, I would say, more positives than negatives. We had so much fun. We were doing craft music halls and all that. And we just loved those things, you know. And then to be able to have your own show, taking Mrs. Muir,
so cool.
The ghost of Mrs. Muir's place. And I got to tell you, as kids, being on these TV sets and doing all this stuff. And yeah, the clothes were funky, but they were clothes given, made, you know, we had wardrobe, you know, and so you really felt pretty special inside of it all. And to be kids, because we were knuckleheads, we could have fun at anything. I mean, whatever it was put in front of us, we turned it into fun.
And
always.
We had skits. We made skits up on our own in our houses and acted them out just for our own entertainment. Now we're being put on TV to do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
It was great.
You know, I particularly noticed Barry in a lot of those old TV clips, whether it was the Sullivan Show and the Christmas one and, you know, that one. It's like he had this knowing look. It's like an old soul. And it's like, I'm enjoying this. I'm a kid, but I get it, you know, and the fact that he had such good stage moves, he had some grooving going on playing that bass. I mean, I noticed that. I bet you did too. And then Susan, you had the most incredible dance steps at nine.
It's
years
just,
old.
I stole it all from Davy Jones. It's so hilarious. People are like, oh my God, where did you? It's like on channel like 4 every Friday night at 8. He's doing it. He has a tambourine and he's doing it. I'm like, well, there I am. And then after that, Axl Rose decided it was a good move. I mean, this is a legendary move, but it started with little wee Davy Jones from the Monkees.
The fact that Barry is surrounded by, look, Paul and I were ex-athletes by that time. And we look at, he's fluid. He's moving moving so smooth. You know what I mean? He did have that naturalness about him.
Yeah. I think even in the Christmas special, he was kind of walking out for a little segment, sending some, and he was like Sinatra. I mean, he just knew what he was doing. It was just wild.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
And the music moved Barry. You know, the thing about Barry was he was a total musician, and you know, he was moved by the music he was doing, the music he was hearing. He was just rolled up in it, man, and it was just coming out of him like freaking
Yeah, for
steak.
sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I guess Lila, you have one?
Well, I just wanted to say, when I was really little and before I knew who you guys were, before Jeff had introduced me, he often compared me to Susan and to John. And, as a little kid, I kind of resented being compared to anyone. And I'm like, I'm my own person.
Hello.
But,
Bravo.
when I learned who you guys are, it's a big compliment.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of looked like you, Susan. I had kind of a similar bob, and I loved dancing.
Yeah, we've got some video. That's, you know, we had a documentary that PBS made on us, and I was just because these kids were so adorable, you know, because I married their mom, and I just thought these kids are just so amazing that I took a lot of video with my phone, and we ended up using them. But yeah, Lila's doing this little dance. It turned out to be a secret monkey dance, and you know, just stuff that.
Dave. Well, it is a secret monkey dance. It
Yeah.
is. It's Davy Jones's from the Monkees. I think it really very poetically works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, wait, I know you guys are probably interviewed quite a bit over the span of your career. What do you wish people asked you in interviews?
I like the question, and I ask it in our podcast, but I like the question that asks about things that they don't already know about, like who we were before we were famous, maybe what we do when we're not being famous or making music. I like questions about who we are as humans, prior to, I call it BS and AS, before Sullivan and after Sullivan. Those are my. So I like that. Like, I like to know who people wanted to be before they became who they are. You know, everybody's got a million dreams and goals, you know?
Well, how
So,
about you?
I personally like questions about the records we made because I like to ask other people, when you got in the studio, how did you do what you did? Because those are just lab secrets, I call them. Like, you just leave that in the studio. You don't go out and talk about double tracking or mixing down or any of that. I love that technical stuff, how other people made their records.
okay. Bob likes technical questions. Polly, what do you got?
And I like all of it and any of it, honestly. You know, just wing your questions my way, and I love answering them. You know,
Yeah,
it's
Paul
like,
never doesn't have an answer.
all right. Well, I do have one specifically for you because I've noticed in all the video clips I've seen over the years, you've played a wide range of instruments. You know, I've seen you on piano, organ, bass. I think I even saw you on drums one time when John was up
Sure.
doing something.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe
Yep.
Barry was on guitar. And I saw Susan on bass one time on one of
Oh,
the.
yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was a time when Dad, man, he was like shaking it up, you know? Like if Johnny was going to sing a Johnny Cash song, he'd come out. I'd go to drum. Susan would go to bass. And, you know, we did that all kind of stuff. You know, it's funny to ask me that question because, you know, I don't really know how come I'm able to do those things, honestly. You know, it was always Bob look at me and he goes, look, you got to play the bass. We need a bass. And I would go, oh, okay, how do you do that? And he would show me how you do it. And then off I would go, you know. And it's like, well, there's a saying, you go, something, something, a master of none, you know, but
Yes.
you have a real, you know, wide range of knowing about things without really being like, you know, the nerd of it, you know. So yeah, but I was fortunate to be able to play all those different instruments, and I swear to God, you guys, I had no idea what I was doing. I was doing good,
Yeah.
but I couldn't tell you
Well,
what was happening.
the funny thing is about Paul. Look, every baseball team, if you get that utility player who can do second base, outfield, third, look, that's a valuable bat. But he just evolved into that more out of necessity. You know, what does the band need? You know, and he was the guy who could do it. Now,
Yeah.
what's going to happen to him is he's going to become a great singer. That was not the focus back then. It really wasn't. The bass was the focus, the keyboards during Global, you know, and we all sang backgrounds and harmonies, but the guys, especially me and Paul, did not stand out as lead singers for many, many years. So his real gift is he fronts this band and he sings his guts out. And
Amen.
even Artie Cornfield said, "Wow, you sound like Paul." You know, it's like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I said, "Well,
That was
that is
huge.
a
Yeah,
great
yeah, yeah.
compliment. That's a great compliment."
It is. But basically, guys, it's just all about being a part of the team. And I felt so grateful my whole life to be in the team. And and man, anything anybody want, hey dude, if you want me to look like an idiot up on stage, I am the man because I'm just happy to be there.
I've seen you jump off of a drone riser during the Happy Together tour, so you're still doing that.
I am still doing that. And I'll tell you, this is going to be our 11th year. And I do it twice a night on Rain the Park and at the end hair. And so if you add all that up, we won't get into that now, but it is an incredible number of how many times I've jumped off of drum risers.
And there's some
And
pretty great photos to
there
prove
have
it.
been some great ones in my life,
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
Yeah,
for
in
sure.
midair.
That would be a nice gallery showing, Paul, when it's all said and done for a retirement plan. You can go around and do a showing at all the galleries all over and show your
That
jumping
would be
photos.
funny. But it's funny, on the Happy Together tour, we went the first year and we had a kind of audition. We did a sound check with them, but they were still not knowing who we were and they were looking at us and they loved us and we sang and Godfrey, the head of the band, would say, hey, so anything we need to know? And I went back and I go, yeah, here's what you need to know. I'm going to be jumping off of that drum riser after Rain the Park, which is our first song, and I'm going to be jumping off that drum riser at the end of Hair. And he's looking at me, yeah, okay, whatever, and I have done it for 11 years. And even to the point where when they're setting up the stage, if the drum riser does not have an area on it for me to get on and jump off, the drummer, and I'm not even there, but the drummer, Chris, he will go, hey, you can't put that there. That's where Paul's going to be jumping off of. And so they know it's coming. And sometimes the riser at fairs, I mean, they're like 3, 4 feet,
Yeah, I don't
and
like those risers.
you gotta jump up on it, And when I do that, I've heard side guys go, how the hell is he doing that? The crew. And
Wow.
yeah, it's just fun to do. I'm just out there to have as much fun as I possibly can.
Well, you sound like you're in better shape than I am because when I go out, we have snow at this very moment and ice. And it's like, I just don't like to slip on anything. But if you're jumping off a 4 foot drum riser, you're in better shape than I am.
We call him Goliath over here.
Yeah. I don't think about it. People will come up to me and before I even see the stage, they'll come up and they'll go, hey, the drum riser is really big tonight. Are you going to be jumping off of that drum riser? Out of concern for me, honestly. And I look at them and I go, well, yeah, I would think so. And
All
then when
go
the
through
song
that,
hits,
and we all go through that. We see that night setup, and even
yeah,
I'll come on stage. We all look at the riser because he's going to jump off it,
yeah.
and I'll either go like, I don't know about that one, but he
Yeah.
always manages it. And
I look forward.
Jefferson, just let the spirit move you,
Yeah,
and
let it
even
move you, Jeff. Yeah.
you can do it.
Evelyn.
Yeah.
I think Ella is our mover.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
Well,
just
she
cool.
moves for the whole band, does she?
Yeah.
Go Ella.
Yeah. I mean, Lila tries, but you know,
Yeah.
the older I get, the more I am willing to risk my dignity.
There you go, girl.
Well,
A
Ella,
true
showbiz.
pro.
Lila does this Little Richard scream maybe twice every show, and that's kind of her special thing.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. We all have a thing.
By the way,
Yeah.
you might get this kind of thing too, but we got something sent to us anonymously in the mail this week. And I think in one of our earlier podcasts, Lila mentioned that about, at the risk of impugning your dignity, Lila said she would be willing to wear a bunny suit, like from Christmas Story, pink bunny suit.
Okay.
Well, she got one yesterday in the mail.
We don't know who it's
We don't know who
from.
sent it. So,
Oh, you've been
wow.
challenged. We won. I'd forgotten I'd said that, and I was thinking, and I was, and Ella was like, "You're gonna get serial killed. Like somebody's after you. This is scary." Because you received your
Wow.
bunny suit in the mail. Yeah, that's
That's
frightening.
incredible. I'm going to
Well,
ask for new shoes.
the reason why it came to mind for us to talk about is sometimes when we play, people will show up with these big round monkey heads like you see at Halloween. I mean, it's like,
Or other
Oh, yeah.
rather large. I said, Laura, my wife, why don't you get one of those and get a brown outfit and you can kind of get people going?
Like a mascot? You want your wife to be your mascot?
It's a unique idea for a band. We have a mascot.
I've never heard of it.
She was so close to doing it. I think maybe we need to stay on that. What do you think? Whatever. She'll
Yeah.
see this and be horrified, but
Big question here. So recently, John and Vicky released an old song of Bill's that they did, A
A
Thousand
thousand times,
Years,
a
A
thousand
Thousand
times.
Times. Thousand times, yeah.
Yeah. So is that sort of tied into that record that y'all are all working on with Songs of Barry's and Bill's, or is this separate from that?
No. The idea of the Barry and Bill songs was an original idea way back in the day when everyone was alive. The idea to put together a full Cowsill record featuring Barry, Bill, me, Paul, all of our writings separately and back each other up. That was that concept. So that's the only group brother songs concept we've had.
Okay.
We dragged our heels a little too long.
We waited too long, those little rascals.
What that evolved to was Bill and Barry passing away. And so
Yes.
our brother John, who's been released from his Beach Boy
Prison.
residency, and her he and Vicky, and they were originally going to call it the Dead Brothers Project,
Which I love.
decide because why not? We're handling everybody else in the family, our group, the Cowsills. And John and Vicky said, well, what about Bill and Barry? And we said, go for it. So
Get them.
all these songs on their upcoming release, which is soon to be out, maybe next month, is
Now,
our songs
well, they're
written by Bill
dropping
and
singles as we
yeah.
speak.
Yeah,
you heard a thousand times. That's Bill. The next one's a Barry song, and their album is full of songs written by our two brothers, Bill and Barry. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, are you allowed to say what the next song is?
Yeah, it's Barry's song. It's already dropped, I
Yeah,
think.
it's dropped. I don't know.
What's the name of it? I can't.
I haven't been online for 3 days, but
Yeah.
I know I
Yeah.
talked to Vicky and I know it's
There's so
out.
many of them.
Okay. Well,
But
back
man,
to
it sounds great. What I've heard, you guys,
is
what I've
amazing.
heard, it's
Yeah.
incredible. I mean,
Yeah.
I heard the first one a thousand times, and boy, it was really great, really great.
Well, the first time I had ever heard it was A Taste of Rhode Island 2000, that video, and you and Bill sang it together. And I honestly thought it was like a mid to late 50s honky tonk song,
There you go.
or maybe even around Hank Williams era. And I had no clue that Bill wrote that, and it just
Well,
became
Bill
so
was a
big.
fanatic with Hank Williams, okay? I
Yes.
mean, boy, he was living, he wanted to be these guys, which, kind of was a downfall for Bill because those guys were living hard,
Right.
and Billy wanted to live hard just like them. But
Yeah.
man, Bill, he had it all going on. I mean, it's funny you mentioned it. I watched the other night, just something came up on something, whether it was Instagram or this or that, and it was Billy singing with his friends, and he did Blue Bayou. And but
Is
man,
that
you
the one
listen.
where he took about 20 minutes to check his guitar?
Oh,
Didn't you want to smack
yeah.
him, guys? Wait, you guys, let's
I
have a
did.
family moment. So
I
we're
did want to
Polly.
smack him, and I
Polly,
kept,
I'm watching
yeah.
him. I'm watching him, and I'm like, here he goes. He
Yeah.
strummed
Yeah.
that thing so many bloody times. It's fine.
Well,
It was
speaking of
crazy.
guitars,
So.
I was going to ask Bob about what is your favorite electric guitar that you've played or owned all these years, and do you still have them? I know that you were, when the fire was coming, you pulled three that you felt like, I've got to go with these. I can't part
Well,
with
I pulled those three to keep working, but my
it.
heart was on one of them. I've had a Gretsch Tennessean that my brother Billy gave me number of decades ago, a 65 Gretsch Tennessean. And I pretty much play everywhere. And I mix that up with a Taylor T5 when I'm either playing alone or if in our trio show. A Taylor T5 brings forth more bass and more of all six strings, so you can get the most out of that guitar
Yeah.
when you're not in a band where the Gretsch is more focused on the part I'm playing and the rest of the band's got everything covered.
Gotcha.
But that has, and I have on a guitar stand in my living room, I call it my Waylon Jennings guitar, or
Yeah.
it's an acoustic D50 Guild. It's a Guild, a brown Guild that I used
Beautiful.
for 28 years when I was a pub singer at
Yeah.
night. And this has scratches, and it's a road warrior guitar that it just has a lot of history in it. So I keep that. Although I did leave it in the living room when I was getting out for the fires, probably because, like I said, I was focused on I need to keep working, get these guitars out that I use.
Okay, well, and I've got two almost exactly like you're talking about.
Well, D25, D25, that's what it is. And it was
Oh,
a
okay.
McCartney kind of acoustic. It recorded great. I got it from Chuck Plotkin, actually. He gave it to me.
Chuck gave you that guitar?
He bought it for me.
Man, he was giving us
Oh,
everything.
he was giving us some gear
wow.
and stuff. And
Yeah.
he's,
I
oh,
had
yeah,
those
there you
huge
go.
Ampex. Oh, wow. There you go,
So,
Bob.
yeah.
That's a double cutaway.
Oh,
That's a double
wow. Look at
cutaway.
that.
It's a Nashville. It's like one of the newer versions of a Nashville. And this is the Guild that I've had about 30 years. I don't
There
know
you go.
what's
You got
what.
yours.
But they were originally made in Rhode Island, I think.
Right.
Liberty, maybe.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guild, yeah.
I love the look of the Gretsch. Mine's a single cutaway, the '65 Tennessean. But I just love Gretsch guitars, just from the Beatle days. I mean, look, it was the Beatles who showed us these guitars in the beginning and said, "Here's your gear. Here's some songs you can learn. Here's what you should look like. Now go get work." And believe it or not, we did all of that. Like, I remember our dad walking by one time, and he goes, "What's with the hair?" Because we had crew cuts at first. What's with the hair? What's with the
Wow, I
hair?
love that.
We actually wrote down several questions to ask. I think Ella is your.
It's so easy being the guest. We just sit here sipping coffee and
I
what
love
else you
it.
want to know about?
We know how tough it is, you guys, to be the host of these shows.
I guess this isn't a question, but just an observation. So, the three of us have been watching Mad Men recently. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there was one scene where a character is reading a Tiger Beat magazine, and guess who's on the cover? It's y'all.
We
It's
thought
heard about that.
it was this one. This is where we got our band name. You can actually see that Secret Monkey.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
Oh.
A friend of ours, Tim gave us this
Wow.
before we even started the band. And I guess I can take it out. Yeah, you can see it a lot better now. But you know, you've got Davey, you got all of them. Then you got Mark Lindsay down where my finger is. But the crazy thing was on the Mad Men show. It looked exactly like this. It was on Sally Draper's bed. She had all of her 45s around her.
What a
And
trip.
I thought, that's it. That's it. And then somebody did a screenshot and they said, no, that one has Davey. But on the side, I can't find, it was John. It was before Paul was in the group, I think. It was John, Barry.
Bill
And
and
maybe
Bob.
you. There was at least three or four of the guys. And then of course there was Mickey Dolenz at the top. But Davey was prominent on just like it. And we were just like our hearts stopped because we thought, my God, that's the same one that we were in.
Wow.
Have heart stopping moments when you were on Tiger Beat or whatever, 16.
I'll confess to going up to Brentwood Mart once a week because they used to send them to our house because obviously we were in them, but I didn't want to wait for them to arrive because I knew when they came out. So I'd go up to the Brentwood Mart and go to the newsstand and get immediately all of them. But my primary goal was to see if I was on a cover. I could care less if I was on the cover. But I wanted to be on the cover with Davey. And if I was on the cover with Davey, then I saved them. And I
Right.
had a whole collection of all the teen mags that it was me on the cover with Davey Jones.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Adorable.
Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. Back then, you only saw a group that you liked in concert or in a teen mag or on a variety television show. Those were your only options. So, and not everybody got in these shows and not everybody got in those magazines, but we being a family, of course, they embraced us and we lucked out and we were in these things all the time. I mean, mostly Barry, John, and Susan, and me and Paul, we didn't care. We were teenage guys, if you're in whatever on that,
They had
we didn't react
girlfriends they
to it.
didn't need any trouble with.
Yeah, well, it's just the younger ones were more embraced by that whole thing.
Well, and the other thing Oh, sorry. I was
go
going to
ahead.
say the other thing I noticed was, we would read these magazines, and me and Bob would look and go, "Wow, doesn't this sound dumb?" And so when we got interviewed, we were not going to sound dumb like that. But then when the magazine came out, they changed all of our words and made us sound just like everybody else in that
Sounded
magazine.
as dumb as the rest of
For sure.
ha, that cracks me up. You're trying to be cool.
There were issues where we would look and they actually did put what we said, which
Yeah.
really blew us away. Oh my God,
You can't
that
show
is
this to
me.
dad.
Well, speaking of the monkeys, we used to do this thing on our old video. We had a weekly video show during the first year of the pandemic, and we did all the editing. It was a lot of fun, and we tried to make it fun. One of the things we did, of course, here's an album. We used to grab an armload of records and just say, "Hey, whose is this?" Because I have all these LPs in the house that I don't know. Some of them I didn't buy. Some of them belong to you, maybe. Some belonged to her dad, because I'm their stepdad. Some might have belonged to Laura, and then some might have belonged to, bandmates. We called this segment "I Want My Daddy's Records." So, we had things like that, and just raise your hand if you may have this in your collection. Okay, NRBQ.
No.
That's rare, that one.
So,
That's rare, that
Laura,
one.
shake your hips.
No.
We've actually played that song live.
I'm going to tell you're going to get mostly no's out of these kids unless you've got the Beatles, the Birds,
Right.
Hollies, Beach Boys. Go ahead.
Well, this might be one you're on.
Well, there you go. You got me on that one. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert.
chili.
How about you guys ever on a TV show with this guy?
Oh yeah,
Eddie
we
Hawk. Oh,
actually
yeah.
toured with Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie opened up for us.
Okay. All right. And this is one Susan may remember.
Was I on
Oh,
Bobby Sherman?
Bobby,
Bobby Sherman. Yeah.
it is
Oh, I didn't
Sherman.
have it though. I didn't need Davey or Bust, and then Mark Lester from Oliver. And other
Okay.
than that, get out of my face.
This is one, like I said, I don't know where that came from. My next door neighbor was a minister and he died and he gave me some record, or his wife did. This is one that I really treasure.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Well, we all remember the song.
Yeah,
We
yeah.
do.
This
We
was
did a
on.
TV show with her.
That's right.
Oh,
Oh,
wow.
you did.
Yep.
Amazing. Well, this was on Mad Men too. This song
Yeah.
was on an episode of Mad Men. And then I think everybody had this at one point or
Oh,
another.
of course. I loved that one.
Yeah, that stuff that transcends time. But yeah, that was the segment we called
That
"I
was
Want."
fun. That was fun. That was fun. But what I had two out of how many ever was? 10.
Ten.
Yeah,
Yeah.
can I just remember something, Paul and Susan? Did
What?
didn't Eddie Arnold? I know we went on tour with them. They thought that would be a pairing. It didn't kind of work out, but it was fun. But wasn't he one of the Kraft Music Hall hosts with us when
Yes,
we went
one
on?
of our
That's
first
where we met
ones.
him, right?
Yes.
Yes. He
Yeah.
was one of our first ones. It was one of my first
Make
skits. I pretended, I yeah.
away.
I
Yes.
was lost at the fair and Eddie was helping me find you guys.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hey,
Or is that Bonnie
listen, I'm
Edson?
gonna have to be traveling with you kids because I'm going to my next destination here.
Oh,
So
never gonna know. But
yeah,
well,
probably will. I'm gonna be in a car.
yeah, we got you. We got you. Well, we'll pull it to a close. I was just going to mention that the songs of yours that I love, besides the ones you play, in the Happy Together show, "Some Good Years" is just a magical song. I mean, to me, it
One of
rivals
my favorites.
the best. I don't think the Beach Boys could even top that. That's just a beautiful, beautiful song.
It's brought a tear to my eye.
Linda Hamm,
Oh.
this album was terrific. Poor Baby from what, 68, 69.
I'm a Poor Baby fan.
Good
Yeah.
one, yeah.
In Need of a Friend, which I think you co-wrote with Bobby co-wrote with Bill, right?
People like that song. It's a
Yeah.
ballad, you know. It's a,
Yeah.
and then
Nice up.
now that Global has been reissued, a lot of people are getting to know more about, well, "Some Good Years," but also "She Said to Me." That is sort of getting new life.
That has
It's
struck a
huge.
chord because I think it's for the councils, that's a real rocker. So it's
Yeah.
like, what?
It's not a
And
maca, it's a rocka.
Susan's lead vocal on that. Anyway, Susan's lead vocal on that is just superb. It's just superb.
Thank
It's
you, Robin.
perfect. It's
Yeah, well,
perfect.
I was 13, Bob. What do you want?
So when I was preparing for this podcast, I looked on your website and I noticed you guys have something going on in Maryland. Do you want to tell us about that? Because I think we have some fans in Maryland.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Bob, tell them what we've won.
Well, then get the Secret Monkey Weekend fans to Havre de Grace, Maryland,
That'd be
which is
great.
just 47 miles away from the Baltimore airport.
Yep.
And it's actually a kind of a weekend, it turned out, where there's a little meet and greet Friday night at a dinner. And then Saturday night is the 7 o'clock show. And then Sunday they're going to show our documentary, and we're going to follow that up with a Q&A
There will be
about that.
counselors on site. Keep going.
Counselors on site. The documentary, that was like a psychiatric class for us in terms of going through what we went through to do that. But yeah, it's a kind of a rare full weekend. Usually we come in, do the show, and we're out of there. But this is just a little different. We're all going to take a deep breath and
Yeah,
do
we're
that.
looking forward to it. It's going to be
We
fun.
are. We are. What I found out, though, is that, and this is going to you guys, you need to get all of your people to this show. Because the thing I always want to know, is this a soft ticket or is this a hard ticket? And as you guys know, a soft ticket is usually everybody's getting in free and the place is packed. And then when
Right.
it's a hard ticket, you worry the whole time. And Bob's already said they've said we're doing well. But you know, when you know it's a hard ticket, it's like, argh.
Yeah, we're playing a show in about 4 hours from now in a little town called Wake Forest, North Carolina, and it's a hard ticket. So
And we're a little worried because it just snowed here
yeah,
pretty.
people are concerned.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but we're going to go. So
No.
we did a
Oh yeah.
show at this we did a show at the Steel Stacks once in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and it was a soft ticket. It was, and there were thousands of people there, and I was telling someone I knew about it, like, man, we had thousands of people, and they were quite impressed. I said, so it made me say, well, they got in free. And the guy says to me, well, they still had to leave the house. I said,
Yeah.
okay.
A good point.
Point.
Tell us more. Okay, you've got let us know about your cruises and the Happy Together tour, and maybe give us a little bit of where you're going to be in the next few months.
8th, Havre de Grace, Maryland, as you know,
Yeah.
March 22nd through the 29th. It's sold out, so unless you want to get a motorboat and follow us, you're not getting on that one. We're on the Flower Power cruise. And then after the fly, oh, April 4th, we're in the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, a very fun room and a very fun night. We do a Q&A in the show on that one. It's an intimate room. And
Yeah.
then we are in Kearney, Nebraska, May 2nd, and I forgot what city, Hutchinson,
Kansas.
Kansas, May
Hutchinson.
3rd,
Yeah.
and Tomball, Texas, May 10th. Now that's our trio show. We
Yeah.
have two things, the full band, and then the three of us with two guitars. They can book us, and we can do a full show, you know, with
Yeah.
just the three of us, and that's often booked. And we love those. It's just
Oh, yeah.
simpler logistically, and many reasons to love them, and
Yep.
challenging, and all that. And then the Happy
Yep.
Together tour is another 57 cities throughout the summer, and we live on two buses, and where then we become the road warriors.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Mad Max.
Well,
Totally.
I'm just thrilled that we can still see you, here, in the 2020s, and
We are glad to be seen in the 2020s, y'all. We
yeah,
are. Hey, y'all
we're
guys,
going
I'm going to be
strong.
the first guy to go. I got to do it because I got an appointment. I love every
Got it.
Secret Monkey.
Oh,
Oh, thank you.
we
We
love
love you
you.
back.
Oh, I have some in my hand, or I'd make a hard hand too.
The
Love you guys. Take
rest of
care.
them.
Thanks so
Oh.
much.
Bye.
Susan, she
Bye.
even told us that she loves you guys, even Monday through Friday. It's just not the
Oh.
weekend, not just the weekend.
Well,
Yes.
your podcast has become a weekly part of my life for the last 2 or 3 years. Now you've been doing it all this time, but we're sort of getting back into the groove with this. I think this is our fifth, maybe fifth part
I don't know.
podcast. But you're in our living room for a change, and this has just been a really unique thing. And
Yeah.
I can't tell you,
Absolutely.
rethink the world of you as a band and just as people. I just feel like you guys are just like gold, all three of you, John as well.
Thank you very
Oh
much,
yeah.
Jefferson. And good
Yep.
luck to you guys. We got you up on there. We know everyone's so easy to follow. Isn't that cool? And by the way, I did take note of your smithereens cap there. So yes, I did. I saw it.
Yeah, we kind of think our new album has sort of that kind of feel, And of course, John has been singing with them.
He has.
He
Yep.
has. Now, you said your new album, is this out now? Is it coming out? Is it out?
Oh, ours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ours won't be out until. Oh, they have a reissue coming out. I know that. Their 2011
The
album.
Smithereens.
He meant you,
And then
Secret Monkey
our
Weekend.
record will drop on June 6th. But we're going to
All
have a
right, there you
couple of
go.
singles preset, one
Okay.
in April, one in May. So, yeah, stand by. You'll see it.
Yeah.
We'll get the alert. Good luck
Cool.
with that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
Because you're on my mailing list.
Ella and Lila and
Yes.
Jefferson, it was very nice visiting with you. You did great. You're
Yeah, you as
really,
well.
I believe our podcasts are probably the only podcasts that are hosted by three people. So you did good.
Thank you.
I mean, hey, we're in a unique club and
Yeah.
couldn't be
And
happier. Well,
keep
thanks,
having
Paul.
fun, you guys. Keep having fun and keep diving into your music. And we expect to see you in your 70s still rocking and rolling.
And we
We'll
don't
do our
plan to
best.
stop.
Atta girl.
They have
Way
a
to
long
go.
way to go to that, but let's hope they will.
Jefferson, you're going to be replaced.
I kind of keep thinking that,
Oh, we're gonna until you're no longer with us, we're gonna wheel you out and you're gonna have we're gonna have a
Audition.
hologram. Yeah, hologram.
Well,
Nice.
I'll be in charge of the auditions. How's
I
that?
love it.
There you go. Oh, gosh.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
All
Thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you very much.
See you
All
later,
right.
Secret
Good luck,
Monkey.
girls.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye
Bye. Tell us. Ella has Graham Parsons, Lila has the band, Jeff has Baltimore.
Colts, the old Colts.
Colts.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Colts. Yeah.
Johnny Unitas, baby. Johnny Unitas.
Exactly. Did you guys grow up pulling for the Patriots?
No.
More Red Sox than football Patriots, honestly.
Right.
Well, yeah, and for me, because it was the Boston Patriots, and they were playing their games like just 20 minutes from Newport. And
Right.
then and I was all about it, a big, huge Red Sox fan, totally Boston because of Newport. And then they changed the name of that team to New England Patriots and moved
Right.
them away from me. And I never forgave them. And
Yeah.
so I am not a Patriots fan. I will not watch them and I will vote against them.
There you go. Well, that's kind of what happened with Baltimore. People are so bitter about that, and I can understand. So,
It happened with me and the Rams. I said, the
yeah.
Rams. And then they come back and I go, I will say this. When the Rams left, I stopped being a team football fan and became a football fan. And
Right.
then I saw the great teams. And I then when they came back, it was too late. I mean, I watch them and all that, but I go to the good teams, the big games, the
Right.
I'm broader fan now because they left us high and dry.
But
How
didn't
do you
you
leave
mention
LA?
in your podcast that you have been to some NFL games this year?
I don't go to NFL games anymore.
Okay. I
No.
thought maybe so you're just
No.
when you mention it, you're actually just making sure you're watching what you want to watch. So
Yeah.
okay.
You know, I took the boys, I took my two kids to a Raiders game when they were in Los Angeles, and we had incredible seats and this and that. The problem I had was twofold, and the one problem mainly was I never could see the ball. Football is all about hiding the ball,
That's
in the running back. And boy, it works because when you're in the stadium, it's really hard to keep track of that ball. And
Yeah.
then the fights behind us, and I got the kids and they were small and
Yeah.
all these fights were breaking out. That was the last NFL game I went to.
That at the LA
Unbelievable.
Coliseum.
Yes, at the Coliseum.
Yep.
Yeah.
My last game was also at the Coliseum. It was Kansas City and the Raiders, I think, or may have been the Rams. This was years ago when they were bringing in the new kid, the redheaded. Anyway,
Yeah.
I was in the top row of the Coliseum and watched the entire game through 0.5 inch binoculars. And I said,
Ah,
this is enough of this.
quite
And
enough.
then it became a TV sport to me.
Yeah.
It's better on TV, you know?
Well, his.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, guys. Sorry I'm late.
Hey,
Hey, Secret Monkeys.